Parshas Terumah is a very different parasha to Parshas Mishpatim. It's almost exact opposite. Parshas Mishpatim is extremely cryptic. Many of the Masechtos and Shas, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, parts in Moyed, all come from Parshas Mishpatim. And you learn many halachas from one extra word here and one extra word there. And then you have Parshas Terumah. And Parshas Terumah takes its time. It has a command, and it tells you exactly how to do it. And it goes into all the intricacies, exactly how it's done, and what materials were needed. You know, once something is built, you don't need to know what the materials. You need to know all the ingredients. Just bake the cake. Just build the Mishkan. No, exactly what was going in. And that's the whole Parshas Terumah. And then Parshas Tzavos starts talking about other halachas, how to make the ephod. And then the end of Parshas, Vayakel, it says exactly how they did it. Not enough that they actually did it, how they did it. And then Pekudei starts mentioning exactly all the calculations of how they did it. We have parsha after parsha, absolutely not worried one least little bit how much space and time it takes. How it's done, how it should be done, how it was done, working out how the materials actually fitted in. No problems in space and time. Whereas Parshas Mishpatim, one single word can tell you the guy's chayiv, the guy's potter, how many times is a mu'ud, how many times on a mu'ud. It's exact opposites. Furthermore, the question really is, why is Parshas Terumah so necessary? You know, the Torah is something that's nitzchi. Torah is something that is infinite. It carries on for generation to generation. It's something that goes on and on and on. If that is the case, the Mishkan actually did not survive that long in history. It wasn't that long. And therefore, it shouldn't really take that much space. It's not like building the base of Mikdash, which was supposed to be forever. Mishkan was temporary. It's longer than it would have been, but it was temporary. And therefore, why give it that much attention to Torah, which is nitzchi, which is ongoing, which is infinite, when in fact this was really a very finite period of time? It was a temporary structure. What is that all about? So there's many answers. And as I mentioned before the shiur started, Alpi Halacha and Alpi Kabbalah and Alpi Musa and Alpi Hashkofa, there's so many different ways of learning this parasha. But I want to focus on one derech that the Nesiva Shalom picks up on. And I worked it through this parasha, and hopefully we'll come up with a derech to understand a little bit, a fraction of what the parasha is actually teaching us. Nesiva Shalom asks a question. David HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achas sha'alti me'eis Hashem oisa vakesh. I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu one thing. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Let me live in your beis Hashem, in your house, in kol yimei chayai, all the days of my life. Kol yimei chayai. So Nesiva Shalom asked, David HaMelech was a king. David HaMelech had a family. David HaMelech knew what it's like to come home. He got kids. You got to deal with them. Yeah? There's supper with the wife. There's putting the kids to sleep. Even David HaMelech. Right? David HaMelech. What? Kol Yimei Chayai. Kol Yimei Chayai is like we learn. Yeah? Kol Yimei Chayecho. Halelois. Even the nights. How could David HaMelech ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, one thing I ask from you, please let me be in a Beis Midrash day and night? Now, if you have kids growing up, you can understand why he asked that, yeah? But still, why did David HaMelech expect that from Kadosh Baruch Hu, where really his place obviously is at home sometimes with his kids, putting them to sleep? What is that Kol Yimei Chayai? What's the idea behind that? I see a lot of acknowledgement on people's faces, yeah. Kids' bedtime. But what's Kol Yimei Chayai? So Nesiva Shalom said, I don't know what it's Pshat. I don't know if it's Pshat, but it certainly is makes sense. As Rush at least, is that Acha Sha'alti Me'eis Hashem Oisa Vakesh, Shifti Beveis Hashem. Beveis Hashem is not talking about the Beis Medrash. Shifti Beveis Hashem is talking about our home. It's talking about the home where a man and a woman make the Shechina between them. The Gemara says, if they shalom between Ish and Isha, Shechina Shruya Beinayim. The Shechina rests in that house. Famous story of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Before he came into his house, he tidied his beard. So they asked him why. He said, because the Shechina's in my house. I've never had an argument with my wife. And therefore the Shechina's in my house, for the covet of the Shechina. This is the Beis Hashem that we're talking about. The Beis Hashem that we're referring to over here is not the Beis Medrash where you are sneaking out and learning the whole day. It's bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into one's home and making that a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels comfortable, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rest the Shekhinah. V'yikhu li truma. V'yikhu li truma is... 1 second. The Pasuk says... V'osuli mikdosh. V'osuli mikdosh is plural. V'osuli mikdosh, says it, Siva Shalom, is referring to the husband and wife. Make for me a base of mikdosh, v'shachanti b'soichom, and I will dwell amongst you. And the Pasuk says, v'chein tasu, says Rashi, v'chein tasu l'doiros. Make this for generations. Make a home that is going to be fitting for the generations. So I would like to add on to what he's saying over here. What this means over here is, v'chein tasu means that what home you should be building, the home that you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into, is not a home that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a spiritual level feels comfortable. It's a home where your kids feel comfortable too. It's a home where religion, where Yiddishkeit, is given over in a way that is positive, that is attractive, and that is going to be given over to the children in a way that they want to continue and give that over to their generations. Build a home of Yiddishkeit. But if you build a home of Yiddishkeit that is built, that is too heavy, that is too frightening for the poor children, then it's not going to be v'chein v'soichom l'doiros. It's not going to be something that's going to build up the next generation that want to be yidden. We said this many times in Shir. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that the generation that we see post-war, of how many parents came over from Europe and were moser nefesh for Shabbos, they gave up their jobs every Friday, they'd give up their jobs, they'd quit their jobs, and Sunday they'd start a new job. And they did it. And what they did for Shabbos, how is it possible that their children, Nebuch, became not religious? Their parents were so moist nefesh. Why didn't the children learn from this? Says Rav Moshe, because it is a fact, says Rav Moshe, and he saw it with his own eyes. He lived amongst that. He said, if the parents come home and they krecht and say, oi, it's difficult to be a yid, then the children are going to quit. They won't want it. They're not interested. We want an easier life. In Hebrew we say lichyot. We want to have a good life. We don't need this. And therefore it's very easy to build a very spiritual home. And one has to be very careful. A lot of people are chozrim b'tshuva. And they build a very, very spiritual home. And sometimes it's too much for the poor kids. It says, Apostle, v'shachanti b'soicha, make me a mikdosh. But it's got to be v'chein tasu. You've got to be done that the generations in the future will feel comfortable there and it will last for one generation to the next. We don't want a generation of Bali tshuva. And then all the Nebuch, the kids, are not that interested, and we lose the next generation. It has to be done in a way that is v'chein tasu. It's got to be done in a way that is attractive, that brings the children in. And this is what I'd like to say, this week's parasha. I'd like to work through various different ideas of chinuch learnt from the parasha's Truma. Rav Shimon Schwab, one of the world's greatest machanchim, asks a fantastic question. If you look in Perek Chof Hei Pasuk Gimel, the third Pasuk in the parasha, the Torah lists what is necessary, the materials we need to build the Mishkan. V'zois ha-truma asher tikchu me'itom. This is a truma that you shall take from them. Zahav v'chesef u'nechoshes. Gold, silver, and copper. Gold, silver, and copper. Okay? Now, here is a medrash. The Medrash says, Zohov, ze Avraham. Zohov, the gold, is Avraham Avinu. Shenivchan bekivshon ha'esh kezov. The Avraham Avinu was tested in a kivshon ha'esh, in this big fiery furnace, like gold. What does it mean, like gold? Normally you learn that fire and the color of gold sort of reminds one of the kivshon ha'esh. That's Avraham Avinu. So the gold is Avraham Avinu. Kesef, that is Yitzchok. Shenitzrav ke kesef agabe mizbeach. He became purified like silver on the mizbeach. That was Yitzchok. Nochleishes, what's Nochleishes? Ze Yaakov, that's Yaakov Avinu. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Nochashti, who said this? Lovon said this, Nochashti, I have looked into my magic. Vayivarchini Hashem biglalecho, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a bracha because of you. So Zohav is Avraham Avinu. Kesev is Yitzchak Avinu. Nechoshes is Yaakov Avinu, because it says, Nechashtani, because I see through my magic that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a blessing through you. Two obvious questions. Number one, Yaakov was the Bechir HaAvos. Yaakov was the most chosen of the Avos. He had the synergy of the Chesed of Avram Avinu and the Gvur of Yitzchak. Yaakov was a Bechir HaAvos. He was a perfection of the Avos. So how can you say Avram was gold, Yitzchak was silver, and Yaakov was Nechishes? It doesn't make sense. That's number one. Secondly, what's a Rai Yaakov was Nechishes? Because Lavan says, Nechashtani. I looked into my magic, and I saw that through you I became wealthy. One second. Nechashtani means magic. Ah, say what letters as Nechashtani. Okay, it is a good hint at best. Yeah, but it doesn't really go. I mean, Nechashtani, Nechashtani doesn't really show the Yaakov representing Nechashtani. So what's that all about? So he says over here a very, very important lesson in Chinuch. A very, very important lesson in Chinuch. And, you know, as a parent as well, not Dafka as a Rebbe, but as a parent as well, one is prone to making mistakes. And if one remembers Zahav Nechesiv Nechesh, it wakes us up a little bit. He says Zahav represented Avram Avinu. It doesn't represent the quality of who they were. It wasn't Yaakov, Avram Avinu got the gold medal, Yitzchak got the silver medal, and Yaakov got the bronze medal. That is not what it's all about. It is about how they were recognized by people. What made them become great amongst the great? Avram Avinu was a young star. Avram Avinu came up the Kipshon Ha'esh. He got the whole world's attention. Everybody in the world was running after Avram Avinu. Unbelievable. The Pasuk says that, Medrash brings down that the Malachim of Mizrach HaMarav, they all came to his front door, wanted to have a relationship with Avram Avinu. He became great overnight. Avram Avinu was appreciated from the very, very beginning. He was like gold. When you know the gold rush, gold is recognized from the very beginning. You actually see it glimmering. You actually see it shining. That is gold. Avram Avinu was recognized from the very beginning, and he was a star early on. Yitzchak was great, but he was a great amongst the greats. When Yitzchak was going, for example, to the Akedah, he wasn't by himself. Yitzchak was with Eliezer, and Yitzchak was with Eliezer and Yishmael. Yishmael did tshuva to such an extent that Tanoim were called Yishmael, Kahane Gedolim were called Yishmael. I'll tell you, my father didn't have children for many years. I was born after 12 years of next one up. Now there's 5 siblings and then 12 years of myself. And those complications until I had my bris mila. My father, never, by the time he came to the bris, he was completely out of things. And they asked him, what's his name? So he says, Kor Shmoy Bishra, what's his name? David Yishmol. So some rabbi says, Yishmol, you sure about David Yishmol? No, David Shmol. Yeah. So Ada Yom HaZeh, and so the people say, oh, Yishmol, how are you doing, Yishmael? You know, the people who had the breast are still, you know, take the mic. But the Maisa Yishmol was a name. It's not very common today, but Yishmol was a name that was given to Tzadikim because Yishmol was a Baal Tshuva Gemurah. The Baal Tshuva Gemurah. So he was great. Eliezer was Doilo Omashke Materesha Avram Avinu. He was the greatest Talmud of Avram Avinu. He was the one of Magidi Shia. He gave Shin Avram Avinu's yeshiva. Great. And therefore they were going all together. You got Yishmael, you got Eliezer, you got Yitzchak. They're all going towards Arkada. Unbelievable. Great. Did you recognize Yitzchak was more special than the rest? No. Only later on, where Avram Avinu turns around and says, does anyone see anything top of the mountain? No. Yitzchak said, yes, I do. I see a cloud. Okay, Shvulechem Poi Machamor. You stay here with the donkey. Donkey is referring to Yishmael, Eliezer. Say with the donkey, and Aniva Na Nelchad Koi. I will go with Yishmael, with Yitzchak Avinu to the Akedah. So Yitzchak Avinu became recognized only by the Akedah when it's put on the Mizbeach. Now, if you know with silver is not mined out as silver from the ground. It has to go through a process. There's a process of amalgamation, electrolysis. There's different things you've got to do to get rid of the zinc and the other impurities in silver to get it out. But it's not clear. So in other words, it's all mixed up. But as you work it out, as you bring it out, it actually becomes special. That is Yitzchak. Yitzchak was recognized. But once he was recognized, Yaakov Avinu Nevuch. Before he was even born, he was chased. And he was hated. And he was trampled upon. First by Nebuch, by Esav, and he had to run away, and then he goes to Lavan. Wherever he went, Nebuch, he had a terrible time. and he didn't see his gadlus, he did not see his greatness. Even when he came to Lavan, the Pasuk says, Lavan Avinu said, wow, I suddenly became wealthy. Not because you had Tzadik Avram Yaakov Avinu, but Kinachashtani, because through my magic I saw that you have a good mazel. You're a lucky guy. And if I became lucky through, not because you're great, even Lavan did not recognize Yaakov Avinu's greatness, even though he lived with him. What is the value of copper though, of Nochesh? If you rub it and you polish it the correct way, it becomes as beautiful as gold. You can take it and you can rub it and you can polish it. At the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, there he was in Mitzrayim, surrounded by his family. Paray eventually recognized him, and he gave a bracha to Paray, and things changed. Suddenly the famine stopped and things changed, and he became the Bechir HaOvis, and he became the greatest of the Ovis. Says the Shimon Shvab that if you want to build a home, if you want to be mechanuch, if you want to educate people, there's always going to be the kid in class who is a sweet kid, the good kid, right, David? Yeah, the good kid in class who always behaves beautifully, and he's always sitting on his place with his finger in a chumash, and he always got the right answers. Yeah, okay, that's a gold. Good kid, no doubt. Then you got the kid who's silver. No, he's got his bunch of friends, and he doesn't stick out anything else. Not great. Not better, but end of the day, sometimes he does better in his test than everyone else. Okay, but, and then you get the kid as nechishes, and he's not recognized, and his poor kid struggles, and he works, and he's not really recognized, and he's thrown out of class, and this, and he never know that he could be the Bechira of us. He could be the one that you polish him up the right way. He could be that kid who is extra special. He could be the kid that eventually he's going to come and shine more than anybody else. This is Zahav Kesem Nechoshes. This is Yaakov Avinu. Nechoshes was, he was polished in the correct way, he became the greatest. Chanoich lenar apidarkoi. Everyone knows that pasuk. Chanoich lenar apidarkoi. Educate a child according to his derech. Chanoich is spelt without a vav. Ches nun chof. It should be ches nun vav chof. Why is a vav missing? The Maggid, Rav Pesach Kron, says to bring up a kid who's perfect, that's easy. Whereas Chanoich Chanar Pidaku, to take that kid who needs a little bit more, who's missing that vav, and mimachanach him, that's a godless, that's a greatness. Take that kid who's missing the vav and mimachanach him, you never know what will come out of him. That could be the greatest nachas can come out of that child. Never, you know, Rebbein coming to a class and these poor kids don't stand a chance. They have all the greats from the previous lesson. From previous lesson or the previous term or the previous year from the other Rebbe. Yeah, this kid, just sort of put him at the back of the class, make sure he doesn't cause too much trouble. This kid over here, he's great. You know, that. Why do that to the poor kids? You never know. Make him the Chayshas, make him shine. And this is Zahav HaChesem Chayshas. That is the first lesson of this week's parasha. Parasha later on in Perek Chof Hei Posuk Mem. There's a very interesting Baraturim. The Pasuk says, V'ra'ei va'asei betavnisom asher ato mare baho, and go and do betavnisom, betavnit. Tavnit is according to the plans, that you saw on the mountain. Okay, so the Balaturim does something that today we need the computers to do. He does something what he called b'mesiris. B'mesiris means he'll take a word and he'll find a uniqueness to that word. He'll say ura'ei three times in the Torah, and he'll make a connection between those three times. Okay? He says the word ura'ei in the Pasuk over here is actually brought three times in the entire Tanakh, not more than that. It's brought over here, ura'ei asha atamare baha, and ura'ei tavnisom, not what you saw on the mountain, ura'ei. Another Pasuk, it says, ura'ei esterach oitzav bi, it's a Pasuk, and see the way, the oitzav bi that brings atzvus, brings depression. And also it says, ura'ei, anyone else? Ura A? No, Ura A. Not Ra A. Ura A. Ura A. If I say the next word, you'll know the rest of the word. Ura A. Bonim. Ura A. Bonim levanecho shalom an Yisrael. Ura A. Bonim levanecho shalom an Yisrael. Three times it says Ura A. Ura A. Va'asei v'tavnison, what you saw on the mountain over here. Ura A. Esterach oitzev bi. Ura A. Bonim levanecho. What is the connection between the Mishkan that you saw, the instructions on Har Sinai, the derech of atzvus, the derech of depression, and to have nachas from your children and grandchildren. What's the connection? Okay, so that the Baal HaTorah makes the following connection. He says that the Mare Bahor, the Hor over here, is referring to the base of Mikdash. Shahor Haho, yeah, the mountain is referring to the base of Mikdash. He says the derech to come to the mountain, the derech to come to the base of Mikdash is through tshuva. Before you come to the base of Mikdash, make sure you do tshuva. Make sure you look into yourself and you have charata for your chatoim and you regret them. And therefore, the derech to the mountain is derech. It's a derech oitzev bi to have depression. Not, incorrect word, but to be upset about the various he did do tshuva. And if he did that, then you get the bracha re'evonim levanecho shalom al Yisrael. You'll have great nachos from your kids. That is a Baal HaTorah's definition of doing this. My Rebbe Reb Chaim Kaufman brought from a sefer called Kedushas Yom Tov, and he said it's another derech to understand this. It's another derech based on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas, Lo olam yargiz adam yetzah tov liyetzah hara. A person should always yargiz. A person should always incite the yetzah tov over the yetzah hara. A person has a nesoyin, a person has a test. He should always incite the yetzah tov over the yetzah hara. Im nitzchay, if he manages to win over the yetzah hara through that, mutav, great. If not, and if not, yasik b'Torah, involve yourself in learning Torah. Carries on the Gemara, im nitzchoy, if you manage through learning Torah, mutav, great. Ve'im lav, yikra kriyishma, if not, learn, say kriyishma. Kriyishma aschav o'inish, say kriyishma. Im nitzchoy, if you do so, mutav, great. Ve'im lav, yaskus reim hamisa, remember the day of death. That is a Gemara. Brings a pasuk, rigzu v'atechato, im levavchem, v'ameshkavtim doimusalo. That's a pasuk which fits into each one of those. Okay? Asks all the Baalei Musar, all of them, the Mefarshim and the Gemara and the Baalei Musar, if the surefire way of getting rid of a Yetzer Hara is, at the end of the day, is to remember the Yom HaMisa, why shouldn't I remember it right from the beginning? Instead of going through the Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, and then learning Torah, and then Krishma, and then go straight for the kill. That's it. Go straight for the Yom HaMisa. You remember what looks like Yom HaMisa. It doesn't look happy there. There's Gehenim, and there's Din, and there's unbelievable, and there's all stuff. Go straight for that. Why start, you know, there's Yargis. Oh, the whole process, what's that all about? So what Poshup Shat the Chofetz Chaim says, if a person's not a Ben Torah, a person doesn't have Yerushalayim, the Yom HaMisa means nothing to him. Esav says, I'm going to die today. Whoa, Yom HaMisa, right? Still, he sold a Bechayr. Yeah? So you've got to have this process to even understand what Yom HaMisa is all about. But fine. But the Kedushas Yom Tov says like this. He says, because there are two problems with working with Yom HaMisa. He said, problem number one is, it doesn't have a lasting effect. It doesn't have a lasting effect. My Rebbe brings down that it says in the name of the tzaddikim that a certain tzaddik said that he thought that all the chevra kaddisha must be big tzaddikim. Every time he goes to the via, he comes back very inspired. It's a tremendous thing, taking a person who's alive, who is powerful, who is influential, and taking him and putting him into the ground and covering him, and it's very sad. It's very sad. It's a real reality shake up, right? So he thought if you work in the chevra kaddisha, and you see this once a day, twice a day, a few times a week, then you're bound to be a tremendous tzaddik. And he saw the weren't such tzaddikim, many of them. Why not? So he said, because, you know what, you see it again, and you see it again, and you see it again, and eventually it doesn't have much of an effect. He said, Yom HaMisa, if you use Yom HaMisa again and again and again, it's not going to have a lasting effect. It'll last for a short period of time, and then as soon as you go out, you're driving your car, you've forgotten all about it. It doesn't help you. It doesn't have a lasting effect. He said, "Moshal ma dov adoyim." Imagine you catch your child doing something at home. You catch him with his hand deep inside the jelly bean jar. And jelly bean jar is only for Shabbos afternoon, you know, a special treat. And you see it with the hands deep inside there. So you either give him a tremendous shock. Hey, what are you doing? This kid never falls down all over the place. The kid has a big shock. Go to your room. How dare you? Right. So that kid will now have a shock and he won't do it now for at least another week. But after that, he'll forget about it, he'll do it again. The other way of dealing with that is educating him. I've got to explain to you something. You want a jelly bean? Take one. Take one. Next time I want you to ask. Because if you don't ask, it's not good for you. I don't want you to have so many jelly beans because it can actually hurt your teeth. And it's not good for your garden to be a treat. And you can educate him. And you know what? That will last so much longer than just giving him a shock. So the idea of giving Yom HaMisa is a shock. For sure it's a shock. But a shock wears off. And if a shock too many times, not a shock anymore. And therefore, says a pasuk, in the last resort, use it. But it's much better to educate him. Yasik b'Torah. Learn Torah with him. Educate. That is so much better. That's one idea. Another reason why it's so not great to go straight to Yom HaMisa is, very simply, it's depressing. It's depressing. And if you depress somebody and you put an environment of heaviness, and do you know what Gehenna is? You say to your children, you know what Gehenna is? You know every single thing we do. Do you know what, you know what fire is? See that fire? Gehenna is much worse than that. And these poor kids, how are you going to educate these poor kids? What are you going to do for them? You know, I tell you a story. I've said this story over many times. The Rebbetzin Latuski says it over my house. Said it over this week again. He said, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein came to the bar mitzvah of her son. Rabbi Latuski was one big Rosh Shivas in New York. And at his bar mitzvah, all the big gedolim came. The big gedolim came. And they all came to speak. And each one was given the opportunity to speak. And Rabbi Moshe was the last one. And he said, every drasha, for this poor bar mitzvah boy, he said, Mamash was talking about achrayis and responsibility. And from such a family, what zaydus you have, what fathers you have, what we can expect, Be'ez Hashem, from this wonderful little boy, you're 13 years old, you're half under the table. Yeah, and what this, unbelievable, what gewaldig, and what an achrayis, and every second of Torah was nitzchias. And this boy is 13 years old, and Rav Moshe is the last one to speak, and says, Rabbi Yisai, look at this poor boy. Look at him. Achrayis! And this, he's half under the table, he hasn't eaten anything, he looks green. Nebuch, this poor boy. Yeah, is that what we're talking about? He said, half of you are asleep, and half of you would like to be asleep. And that's what he gave him to Bar Mitzvah boy. No, Rabbi Yisai, leibedig a niggun. No, a good niggun. Torah is geschmack. No. And that was his drosh, and he sat down. Right? And that was a Moshe's drasha. And that was a gadol. That was a gadol b'Torah. He said, if you talk to a kid about Gehenna and about Einosh, and you know what? They won't steal jelly beans. But I doubt they're going to be well-grounded, happy, well-balanced fathers and grandfathers. You're not going to scare them off. That is not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is geschmack. That's what the Pasuk is saying over here. We have a way of dealing with children, educating children. We can give them this whole Yom HaMisa thing. We could. We can give them very heavy Yiddishkeit. But is that going to help us? Says a pasuk. It says Ura'eh three times. One Ura'eh is, the pasuk says, Ura'eh is derech oitzev bi. The derech that you go along that is depressing. What does the pasuk say at the end of that? V'necheni b'derech olam. Talking about how death is a process of life. And that's very depressing. You could do that. But you know what's going to happen? It's not going to last for a long time, and you poor future generations. And therefore, I have another alternative. Ura'ei asher atamare b'ho. Ura'ei va'asei b'tavnisan asher atamare b'ho. Look at the recipe of what Hasinai is all about. Sit down with your children and learn Torah with them. Show them what Hasinai was. Show them how lucky we are to be a Jew. Show them asher b'chabonim mikol ha'amim, that we're the chosen nation, how we shine, what opportunities we have, how great we are. That is the other alternative. And if you do that, ura'ei vonim levanecho sholem al Yisrael. If you do that, then you'll not only have good children, you'll have a relationship with your grandchildren. Because this will be an ongoing process, and this will be something that will bring in your children and grandchildren. Ura'ei vonim levanecho. This is the parasha. The parasha is building a home of greatness, building a home of a mishkan, but doing it in a way of appreciating every child, and doing it in a way that's positive. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says a very, very beautiful piece. If you look in the parasha, it says in Perek Chavov Pasuk Tesvov. I'll go very bekitza because I want to say one more piece after this. Very, very bekitza. And you should make kroshim. Kroshim are the beans in the mishkan. Atzei shittim oimdim. The atzei shittim that's standing up. What's the loshim? Vasiso es ha kroshim. The kroshim. What's the kroshim? Says Rashi. What's ha kroshim with a hey idea? Havale lemeim vasiso kroshim. Make boards like everywhere else in the Torah. So he says no. Yaakov Avinu nota arozim b'Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu planted these arozim, these cedar trees, when he came to Mitzrayim. Ukushemesu, when he died, tivo lebonav lahalusim imohem. He commanded his children to take them out with them, kushiyotzim b'Mitzrayim, and he came out of Mitzrayim. Va'omar lehem, and he said to them, she'osu l'kodesh baruch hu l'tzavos oisim ha'kodesh baruch hu, eventually command you la'asos mishkan b'midbar, to make a mishkan in the middle of the midbar. Ma'atzei shittim, from Asa Shittim, Ru'u, see, Shiyu Muzumonim Bi'etchen, it should be prepared in your hands. And that's why it says, Ha Kroshim, that the Kroshim that we recognize all the way along. Now, even more than that, where did Yaakovina get these cedars from? Where did, do you know, anyone know?
He brought them from Eretz Yisrael.
Do you know where in Eretz Yisrael? So the Mishkan, the Medrash brings down, the Yaakovina went to Be'er Sheva on the way to Mitzrayim, and he took them from where Avram Avinu had planted them. Avram Avinu had a whole factory for Chesed. Right? He had guest homes, and he had... So he planted his own supply of wood, of timber. So Avram Avinu planted his own... Yeah, his own cedar wood, cedar trees. Yaakov Avinu took those cedar trees, took them to Mitzrayim, and he planted them in Mitzrayim. So Yaakov come in and say, why? Because there's a shortage of trees in the Midbar. Do you know they had the Be'er, they had the fountain in the Midbar? Be'er Miriam supplied incredible forestation everywhere they went. If it needed a few trees, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give them a few trees. You know, no problem. They needed a few stones, didn't have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the stones. Why, it's so difficult. You got to plant trees that are taken from Be'er Sheva, carry on from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim on Paro's chariots, right? And then plant them in Mitzrayim, they should keep fresh, and then cut them down, take them with you in a midbar. If you didn't think they're going to have any trees, take some local cedar trees from Mitzrayim, cut them down, and take... What's this whole thing? What's Yaakov Avinu doing? He's a Talmud Chacham. What's it all about? What's that? His special trees. His lucky trees. What's all that about? So he says that chinuch is not about just giving children ideas. Chinuch, as much as he can, has got to be visual. It's got to be something that they can actually relate to on their level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov Avinu, you know, one day you'll come out of Mitzrayim. So you tell your children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us one day to come out of Mitzrayim. That's nice. Nice. I hope so. But if you could go past a beautiful forest, a lush forest of tall cedar trees, and children ask, Daddy, what's this cedar tree thing in the middle of here? What's going on over here? What's this in Goshen, this cedar tree thing? What's, you know... From neighbourhoods don't have forests. What's this all about? You know what this is all about? This is about Yaakov Avinu planted this. Why? Because one day we're going to leave Mitzrayim, and we're going to cut down these trees, and we're going to make a Mishkan, and that is why we're planting it now. Wow, that's amazing. And they're going to see that in front of their eyes. That's going to keep them going. Do you know, Rabbi Yisrael, there are generations who died in Mitzrayim. Not everyone came into Mitzrayim and left. There are generations. But that hope, a child sees something in front of his eyes, he makes it real. Make Yiddishkeit real. Make it something that they can, not just a concept, just a thought. Make it visual, make it real. That's another idea of chinuch. Why Avram Avinu? Very, very bekitzer, because anything that you put Mesiris Nefesh into is going to survive forever. It's going to survive forever. The Pasuk says, and you should make oimdim. Gemara says oimdim, and it lasted forever. In the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, and in Sukkah, Ma'idasev Asishun Oindim, they were there forever and ever. The more Mesiris Nefesh you have, Avram Ravina put Mesiris Nefesh into it, it lasted forever. Finish off with one short Vod Rishmur Rozovsky. The holiest place in the world was where? Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're talking about Eretz Yisrael is a holy land, right? And you're talking about the Har Yishlaim is a holiest city. And you have in the holiest city, the Beis Midrash, the holiest place. In the Beis Midrash, Kodesh HaKadoshim. And where was the holiest place of Kodesh HaKadoshim? Between two Keruvim. Between two Keruvim. That was the holiest place in the whole universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu through the Bein Shtei Keruvim. So what do you expect these two Keruvim to look like? Two Gedolei Ador. Says a Pasuk, according to the Medrash, it's brought down that they had two childlike faces. The holiest place in the world has childlike faces. What's the deal behind that? Why? What's all that about? Says Shmuel Rozovsky, one of the world's greatest machanchim. He said you can have the greatest Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speaking to the greatest Talmud, Moshe Rabbeinu, but it'll mean nothing unless you have childlike enthusiasm. Unless you have two little faces, two young innocent, if you're innocent, and you want to absorb, you don't have this cynicism that grows on us, then you cannot possibly learn. And therefore, you've got to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's all lovely. That's all great. But unless you have this childlike innocence, this belief that things can be good, things will be good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us. Not this cynicism, come on, I've seen that before. You know, if we're in our 40s and 50s and 60s have that, that's our problem. But at least give our kids a chance. You get 10-year-old kids are cynical today. Give them this innocence. Give them this ability to see things in the light of enthusiasm, of innocence, of appreciation that people are good. That people are good, and our Kosh Baruch is good, and He wants to give us a good life. This week's parasha. This week's parasha is about building a home. For Osli Migdosh, v'shachanti b'soicham. Osli is a master and wife together. For Osli Migdosh, v'shachanti b'soicham b'soicham. Pasuk says v'chein tasu, v'chein tasu l'doyros. You got to build a home that's not just good enough for the parents. V'chein tasu l'doyros, to build a home that is going to be a nurturing ground for future generations. That is done through appreciating every child. The zov, the kesev, and the choshes, to bring out and polish these kids that don't seem that promising. No, to bring them out. To make a home of positive Yiddishkeit, of making a home that is not all about, you know, zecho yema misa. To try and get, if that's what you need, that's what you need. But you can't build a home. Re'ei vonim levenecho sholem al Yisrael is re'ei tavnis of Mishkan. To see what it looked like on Har Sinai. To give them the understanding, the appreciation of how wonderful it is to be a Jew. How wonderful it is to follow the Torah. How lucky we are to be in that position. The idea that Yaakov Kamenetsky brought down, that Kiroshim has got to be visual, make Yiddishkeit visual, bring them to a tish sometimes. You want to see what it's like? Bring them to a Shabbos in different places. Make it mundane. Make Yiddishkeit enjoyable. Make it alive. Make it alive. That's why Seder night is what everyone remembers, because it's so visual. It makes such a difference. And eventually, like we said beforehand, keep the innocence, keep the ability to keep fresh. Give the children the chinuch that is exciting, that is childlike, that is innocent, and we should all be zoichab ez Hashem, or Eivonim Levanecho, Shalom al Yisrael.
Square.